Father, we thank you for what you've done already in our midst, Lord God. The beautiful sense of your presence and the healing and the encouragement, Lord God. The exhortation to live, Lord, and to continue living. And I pray, Father, that as we now break open your word, I pray it would be to us meat for those of us who need meat and milk for those who need milk, that you would nourish us by it, Lord God, and that all of it you would continue to be glorified in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, worship team, for leading us tonight. That was really beautiful. Thank you so much. I forgot to mention when I was talking at the beginning that on July 10th, Clem Ferris is going to be joining us. Any of you who've known Clem, he's a friend of Michael Cotton's. We met them together. And he has a great teaching gift, but he's also a prophet. So I would encourage you to come on July 10th and tune in, those of you online. Praise the Lord. When I shared back at the beginning of May, I had mentioned that the Lord, we were in a season of deeper revelation and deeper understanding, that God was showing us things from his perspective more and more all the time. And I think that that continues to be the case. And I had shared back then that I probably would continue along those lines of talking about some things that we already know, that we've already heard. In May, I talked about us being God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, God's temple. And tonight, I'm going to continue and just talk actually about revelation itself and the importance of prophetic and divine revelation in our lives. In Hosea 4:6, it says, "My people are destroyed because they don't know me." Those are strong words. For lack of knowledge, we're destroyed. And so we need to know who God is, and we need to have that prophetic revelation. Back in May, I also shared Proverbs 29:18 that says, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." When we don't have prophetic revelation, the people are unrestrained, walking in circles and having no certain destiny. And some of us, even though we've been saved for a long time, can feel like we're just walking in circles. Like, God, what are we doing? Why are we here? What's going on? And the Lord wants to give us a deeper revelation of all of that. And so I'm going to start right out with definitions. Last time I didn't have any definitions. I was ashamed of myself. But tonight, we're starting right out with definitions of the word revelation. The act of disclosing or discovering to others what was before unknown to them. The disclosure or communication of truth to men by God himself or by his authorized agents, the prophets and apostles. Go Noah Webster. That which is revealed. Sacred truths God has communicated to man for his instruction and direction. To make known something before that was unknown or concealed. To make known from heaven. So whether it was in the 1828 dictionary or the Oxford English Dictionary that I have, all of these definitions include God. That true revelation is not something we can study. It's not something that we can just come up with because we're smart. Revelation comes from God. Real prophetic revelation comes from God and God alone. And there's a lot of people that have kind of just made it up as they go along. What their revelation, there's a lot of crazy thinking out there right now. And people who feel that they have had revelations and are seeing things and understanding things that have no foundation at all in the Word of God. True revelation comes from God Himself. And we all know that that is true. In the Passion Translation, I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 16. This is Paul speaking. The message I preached and how I preached it was not an attempt to sway you with persuasive arguments, but to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit. For God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in His almighty power. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Praise God. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in mystery. It is His secret plan, destined before all ages to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world order understood it, for if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of shining glory. That is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all His lovers. But now, God unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Just let those words sink in. God is revealing profound realities to us by His Spirit. Yes, He has revealed to us His inmost heart and deepest ministries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. Again, this is not the Passion Translation up there, but it's what I'm reading. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by His Spirit, the Spirit of God. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God. When we come to Christ, when we make that profession of faith, we receive that Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with the words taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. Before we came to Christ, we were all in that place, weren't we? Like, this makes no sense. I remember the very first time I heard the gospel, I was just a young girl, and my neighbor was a Christian. I was like 7 or 8 years old, and she was preaching at me all the time, and I'm like, this is just crazy. It's too easy, for one thing. And I came from a tradition that didn't make it really easy. And so I thought it was crazy. And the world thinks the gospel is crazy. It doesn't make sense to them because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. And true revelation is only discerned by the Spirit of God. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. 4. Who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become His counselor? Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions. Some translations say we have the mind of Christ. The Spirit of Christ indwells us. And so, can we understand the deep things of God? Yes. Yes, we can. Because the Spirit of God is within us. And He wants to bring us to deeper and deeper places of revelation in Him by His Spirit. By His Spirit. And I love this translation that says, we possess Christ's perceptions. When the Spirit speaks, we can understand it because we have the same perception to the Spirit that Jesus Christ did. It says He only did the things He saw and heard the Father do. He was so perceptive to the Spirit of God. In Isaiah 11:2 in the Passion Translation, again, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon Jesus, and He will have the Spirit of extraordinary wisdom, the Spirit of perfect understanding, the Spirit of wise strategy, the Spirit of mighty power, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and the obedience to do those things. That's who Christ is. And He says, that's who you are too. That's how you can live too. With wisdom and understanding and strategy and power and the Spirit of revelation. It's who we're called to be. God is a revealer. He has always wanted to reveal Himself to man. From the beginning of time, He's wanted to reveal Himself to man. We were in some sort of relationship with Him outside of time. Because it says He knew us. He didn't just know about us. He didn't just know we'd be around, coming around someday. He knew us. And to know someone, you are in some sort of relationship with them. To be known of someone. He is a revealer. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden before sin and revealed to them. Did you ever think about the kind of minds that they had? Adam, the kind of mind Adam had to name all the animals? That, the kind of mind that sin has not tainted, that the world system has not sullied, that kind of mind that can have perfect communion and revelation with God Himself, His heart has not changed. Sin changed our circumstance, but it never changed His heart. And He desires for us to know Him. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, it says, Daniel's saying as he's interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that God reveals the deep and the secret things. And then Nebuchadnezzar himself later on says, there's a God in heaven who reveals secrets, who tells us things that we don't know. He does sometimes reveal things to people that don't yet know Him. He revealed Himself to all of us before we knew Him. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten saved. The Holy Spirit is a revealer, as it says over and over again in this scripture we read in Corinthians. But who has no revelation? We read that none of the rulers of this present world order understood, because if they did, they never would have killed him. They did not have revelation. And are we talking just about flesh and blood here? Who are the rulers of this world? The powers and principalities. The enemy does not have revelation from God. He watches patterns. He watches behaviors. He does not have revelation from God. We, the children of God, as was sung tonight, we have revelation from God. I'd like to look now at Ephesians chapter 1, back into my Amplified. This is Paul, again, starting in verse 17. It says, "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand and hope the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in us and for us who believe, is demonstrated in the work of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places." Resurrection power. Pam spoke of that tonight. Rigor mortis is not setting in. We have resurrection power. She had a revelation of that. Where did that come from? Just as much as the rigor mortis came from somewhere, the revelation of truth came from somewhere. Two different spirits, right? Just tonight, two different spirits. So the first thing Paul says is, I'm going to pray that you have a spirit of revelation. Like a gift of the spirit of revelation. We should be praying that every day. Lord, give me a spirit of revelation. Every time we open this book, is this book naturally discerned? No, it is not. It's a spiritual book. Holy Spirit, give me a spirit of revelation. When I pray, Holy Spirit, give me a spirit of revelation that I know how to pray. Give us all a spirit of revelation. When we pray for others, we'll talk about that a little more in a minute, we need to pray that they will have a spirit of revelation. Because none of the people we're praying for are going to get saved unless God reveals to them who he is. It's amazing. We cannot be saved unless God tells us how to be saved, who he is. It's him all the way. It's not our decision. He pursues us, and then he gives us the revelation of who he is, and then he gives us the ability to become his. It's all about him. So we prayed, first of all, give them the spirit of revelation. Amen, Lord, do that. Give them the mysteries and the secrets and the deep knowledge of him. Every one of us, if you consider yourself a born-again Christian, has had a revelation of who Jesus Christ is and of the gospel message. And like I said, some of you know my testimony. I was crazy. There's no other way to put it. I was really crazy. And so when people started witnessing to me, I had this battle, this huge battle going on in my mind. And I would have it all set and everything would be fine, and then bloop, it would be gone. And it was back and forth and back and forth. And finally, one morning I woke up and I'm like, Jesus is Lord and he died for my sins and I'm waiting. And it stayed. And it has stayed ever since. That was 1972. So it's been a while. And I've never doubted it since, because he gave me a revelation. And there were words tonight about healing, anxiety, and other things, wounds, and ourselves. And I got the revelation that God can heal a mind because he healed my mind. Nobody here has known me long enough to know crazy me. If my sister was here, she would be very happy to tell you all about how crazy I was. Well, it's true. Alan was four when I got saved, so he got a glimpse of crazy mom, poor kid, and he still turned out okay. God healed him too as well. But we come into that knowledge of him when we get saved, but we aren't meant to stay there. Because Paul said, I want you to come into the deep knowledge of him. And even though I made that first decision in 1972, I can honestly say every single day I see more of him. I learn more about him. I go deeper in him because he is deep. And there's always going to be something more to learn. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. It's part of our inheritance. It's part of what he's given us. It's his job to have secrets. It's our job to have secrets and deep things revealed to us so that we can know who he is in a more intimate way day by day. In Proverbs 25, verse 2, in the Passion Translation, it says, God conceals the revelation of his word in the hiding place of his glory. I love that. Kabod. He hides things in his glory. But the honor of kings, which you are, we are kings and priests unto God, is revealed by how thoroughly we search out the deeper things of God. We can be satisfied with 1972 faith, or we can say, God, I want it all. I want to go as deep as you're willing to take me. Every day, Lord, show me more. Take me deeper. And that comes through intimacy, because if his glory, if his secrets are hidden in his glory, that means we need to be worshiping and we need to be praying in and we need to be intimate with him to get that. In Matthew 16, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, who do people say I am? And they had a variety of answers, didn't they? And then he turned to Peter, and said, who do you think I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, no man has told you that. That revelation of truth came from God and God alone. So as much of a foot in the mouth kind of guy that Peter was for a while, he had this deep revelation of who Jesus was. And just because the disciples hung out with him, they didn't all understand who he was. They still were some of them looking for someone who was going to kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. And so when he said, Peter, no man's told you this, because this is truth. This is a deep truth. And then what about Paul himself? He had the Damascus Road experience, right? He was a persecutor, a zealous persecutor of Christians. He was on his way to kill more in Turkey, and he had this encounter with God that knocked him off his horse, blinded him. He came to know God in his blindness. God sent someone to pray for him. He received his sight back again. And then he went away for 3 years. And he came back. He wasn't really welcomed. He wasn't really acknowledged. But he came back and he said, for I want you to know, brethren, that the gospel which was proclaimed and made known by me is not man's gospel. For indeed, I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through a direct revelation given by Jesus Christ, the Messiah. How would you like to go to seminary under Jesus? Right? And then look at the revelation that Paul received. Not just about the gospel, about preaching to the Gentiles, that was the big one. But look at these epistles that he wrote. All of this was given to him by direct revelation of Jesus Christ himself. Is God a respecter of persons? No, he's not. Does he want to reveal deep things to you? Yes, he does. He wants you to know him deeply and intimately. He also wants us to know who we are. And he needs, and he has, and he does give us that knowledge through revelation as well. And some of that came out through the worship tonight and through the word again for Logan about we are the children of God and we have his authority. That is a revelation. None of us were born knowing that. I was not. Even in my tradition, I desperately wanted to know God and I wanted to know who I was, but I didn't. I remember when I was in third grade, I used to go to Mass every single morning. And I would stare at the statues and hope I would see some of them move, because I desperately wanted to see a miracle. And I desperately wanted to know God. From the time I was in third grade, I wanted to know God. And I became very frustrated because I also had a religious spirit. Even in third grade, I did. I had a religious spirit. You'll never get to know God through a religious spirit, because it's a relational thing. It's relational. It's not religious. It's relational. And just like we come to know our spouses, I don't know, how long have you guys, Bob and Rosie, how long have you been married? 43 years. So when the day you got married, you probably thought you knew each other pretty well. Yeah. Did you? No. No. So the day we got saved, we thought we knew God pretty well, but we didn't really. We didn't really. And we also don't know ourselves. And that is also a process, a revelatory process of coming into the truth. Paul wrote in Ephesians, I want you to be flooded with light so that you understand who you are. Who you are in Christ. You know, it's one of the questions we all have. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Over and over again, I hear that from people, and we all have probably said it. Why am I here? God said, I want to reveal to you why you're here. Because there is a destiny and a purpose and a plan that has been held in the heart of God from before the foundation of the world. And he wants to reveal those things to you. And he does it through the word, as we read the word and we believe the word, and he gives us ongoing revelation into the word, like, oh. And then we are blessed here to have the prophetic word that comes forth. Many of you have sat in presbytery and had men who don't know you come and read your mail and tell you things that they would have no way of knowing. And God reveals to you who you are, what your gifts are, what your calling is. We can also have, just like Paul did, direct revelation from God. He wants to just drop things into our spirit and speak to us and give us revelation as we enter into that intimate place with him. Because he wants, as much as he wants us to know who he is, he wants us to know who we are so that we can be about the business he's called us to do. Because if we don't know what it is we're called to do, we're not going to be doing it. We're going to be, what did it say, walking in circles, looking for our destiny. And so revelation of who you are in Christ is really important. He wants us to have a revelation of the glorious inheritance that is ours. Let's look at Romans 8 for a moment. Verse 16. It says, the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. First of all, my mind is blown every time I think that I am going to share the inheritance of Jesus Christ. We know what he is, that he is worthy, right? And that he should have everything that's coming to him. But the word says we're getting part of that. That we are sharing the same inheritance that Jesus Christ is receiving. That is mind-blowing. But that is what's coming to us. And why does the Lord want us to know that now? Why not just wait until we get there? Surprise! Part of it is because there's going to be suffering. It says so. It says we're going to share his inheritance, but we're also going to share in his suffering. We like to skip over that part sometimes. And so he wants us to know the good that is ahead, the amazing stuff that's before us, so that we can walk through the hard stuff now. My husband, many of you know, was sick for several years. And when he first got sick, he was in a situation where he was in an inordinate amount of pain. We weren't even quite sure yet at that point what was going on, but he was in excruciating pain most of the time. And I didn't know this until after, but there was a season of time when every night when he went to bed, he thought, I may not wake up. There's a good possibility I'm not waking up in the morning. And I remember that season because the Lord had me praying against the spirit of death all the time. Then we compared notes somewhere down the road. But one night, he was in this horrible place physically. Great spiritually, horrible place physically. And he realized all of a sudden that he was up in the corner of our bedroom looking down on himself on the bed. And he was like, this is unusual. And he was looking at himself on the bed. And he was up in this corner. And he said he didn't see the Lord, but he was very aware of the presence of the Lord in the room with him. And he said, Lisa, I cannot tell you how that felt when he told me about it. It happened two nights in a row. One night and then the second night right after. Same experience. He said, I had absolutely no pain outside of my body. I had this incredible sense of well-being. Not just no physical pain, but no worries. Nothing bothering me. No stress. And it happened two nights in a row. And he said, and then I went back into my body and there it all was again. And for years, he said to me, why did that happen? What was the purpose of that? What was the reason for that? In about a month before he went home with the Lord, he said to me one day, I know why that happened now. Because he had been through some horrors, physically speaking. I'm not going to rehearse them before you, but it was horrible, some of the things he experienced and went through. And he said, I can go through this now because I know what's coming. I can be happy. One of the things was, he used to say, I can be happy living in a chair because I know what it's going to feel like. He gave him a glimpse of what his inheritance was that helped him live through what was before him until he got there. Now, those of you who were here on Pentecost heard the testimony that I had of when I was in the hospital the last time, I went to heaven. And it's a long, very involved story, and I'm not free to tell it all at this point, but I did share that night, and I can share that I saw my husband. And I saw with my eyes what he had described through those experiences. He was on his feet and healed, and that was very obvious, physically healed. But the incredible sense of well-being. He was a good-looking guy, I thought anyway, quite handsome. But he looked beautiful. He looked beautiful. I couldn't take my eyes off him. And just that sense of perfect well-being. But God had given him a revelation of his inheritance so that he could endure the sufferings of Christ here on earth. We need that revelation as well. This is just a momentary light affliction. It doesn't feel like that to us sometimes. But when we think about eternity, he wants us to get a revelation of that, to strengthen us right here and now, so that we can face these things that come against us every day, a revelation of his inheritance. He wants us to have a revelation of the greatness of his power for us, and the greatness of his power in us. Just like we were talking about early. Great power has been exercised on our behalf. If you think about what Christ did, we read something on Tuesday night at the home meeting, a little excerpt of a book that talked about what he endured and the power that came through him for us, what he faced for us. But it's not just that. He wants to give us now a revelation of the power in us because we live so far under what he has called us to do, I think. I do, anyway. I can't speak for the rest of you. But I know that if we get a full revelation of the power in us, we're going to see things change. We're going to see people be healed. Rosie just shared some testimonies with me before the service of God leading her to people and praying for them. And some of them are getting better, some immediately. And we all have those testimonies, but he wants us to constantly be aware of the power within us so that we can live the same kind of life that Jesus Christ did, That's the goal here, to be like him. And that means signs and wonders and miracles. It doesn't just mean coming here and saying, yay, God, and then going back to life as normal. No. He wants us to live like we know that we are powerful people. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is in us. He wants it to flow through us. And as we see the power of God, he wants it to change us. And if we don't let it change us and become an experience for us, we're going to be like the disciples after the feeding of the multitudes. Okay? You all know the story. In Mark 6 is the one that I'm referring to. So there's this huge crowd of people, and the disciples come and say, everybody's hungry. What do you want us to do? You know, what you need to dismiss them so they can go home and have lunch or dinner. And Jesus says to the disciples, you feed them. That was his declaration. You feed them. And they're like, you want us to buy bread for all these people? Do you know how much that would cost? Now, had they witnessed miracles? Had they seen the wedding feast of Cana when water turned into wine? They'd seen that, and they'd seen lots of other things. So Jesus said to them, you feed them. And, you know, they're talking about how much the bread's going to cost. So Jesus said, okay, what have we got here? What are we working with? And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he broke them up just enough for each of the 12 to have part of that. 5 loaves and 2 fish. So I don't know how much that was, not very much among 12 men. And as they went, it says, it multiplied. So that they had 12 baskets full left. Every disciple had a basket full of bread and fish. Now come on. That's exciting. Everyone had their own basket of bread and fish, and they distributed it with their hands. Okay? Jesus says, I'm going to go up and pray. You go on the other side, get in the boat, and sail off. And it says a storm came up, and Jesus became aware of that, whether he was at a vantage point where he could see them, or he had a revelation from Father, these guys are in trouble. And he comes down and is walking on the water to check out and see what's going on down there. They think it's a ghost and scream like girls, you know, and carry on. And he gets in the boat and speaks to the storm and it all stops. And then it says that happened because they had hardened their hearts over the loaves and the fishes. They saw a miracle, but they didn't let it change them. With their own hands, they distributed, it says, what was it, 5,000 people there? It happened through them, and yet they're panicking over wind because they'd hardened their hearts. They didn't let the experience change them. They didn't have a revelation of who they were. Jesus had tried to tell them, you feed them. They had just come back. He had sent out the 70 just before this story, so they'd had a little experience on their own. But their hearts weren't changed. We have to let who we are and the experiences we have and the power that God works through us, change our experience. Change us. Make us different. So that when the storm comes, we're not going to have to wait for Jesus to get in the boat, because if he's in us, he's already in the boat. Right? So we speak to the storm. He wants us to have a revelation of the power that is in us. This kind of revelation is for every single believer. From the youngest here in the room, major, on up to me. All of us. He wants us all to have revelation. And children are having revelations. Children are speaking truth. And, you know, I think they do it better because they don't know as much in the world. They're purer in their spirits. And so if they see something, they say it and they believe it. And we're going to see more of that, thank heavens. Jesus said in Matthew 11, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the clever and the learned and revealed them to babies and childish and the untaught and the unskilled. Our minds are not going to be what gets us there. It's going to be our childlike hearts. The greater the revelation that we have, the greater faith we should be able to exercise. So if I've had a revelation that someone who's crazy cannot be crazy anymore for the most part. I have had that revelation, and so I've gained a position in prayer. And I can pray with great faith and confidence for people who have mental health issues because my revelation is that, and my experience is that, he can do that. So if you believe that God is a healer, that he still heals, then your faith should match the revelation. If you've had a revelation that God speaks to you, my first revelation that God spoke to me was, and I've told this story before, for my husband, Ron. I got saved first, and I tried all the wrong things to get him to be saved. Left tracts out and my Bible open on his pillow and nagged him and did everything that I shouldn't have done. And it didn't work, not surprisingly. You know, it didn't work. And I finally, in desperation, went to the Lord and said, God, this isn't working. I don't know what to do. This isn't working. And I wasn't sure that I was going to hear back because I'd only been saved a short while, 6 months. And I did hear back from him, and he said, I want you just to love him. And I said, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to just love him. And God said back to me, will you let me do it through you? And I'm like, well, you're going to have to because I don't know how to do it. And so day by day, he gave me a revelation of how to love my husband. When he would come in intoxicated after working, he would have me get down on my knees and help him off with his boots. He would tell me, make sure the dinner's warm no matter what time he gets home. Those weren't my thoughts. Let me just say that. Those were thoughts from God. That was a revelation. And his testimony years later was, it was the love of God that became irresistible to him. He couldn't resist the love of God. But that came to me because I had this revelation that if I asked God, he would answer me and give me ideas on how to minister to my husband. So now I've got that experience. So some friends of ours, we were hippies, hard to believe, I know, but we were. And some friends of ours married themselves because it was like the hippie thing to do back in the day. And later on they got saved, but they were finding it difficult to start a family. And they'd been to doctors and all kinds of things, and they weren't able to conceive. And so they called me and Ron and said, would you please pray and ask the Lord why we can't have a baby? So I'm like, sure, I will. And I had confidence that God was going to speak to me because he spoke to me about my husband. So my faith had been increased, right? We have revelation, and it comes to pass, and our faith should be increased. So here's what the Lord told me. They're not going to have a baby until they get married, really married. And I'm like, okay, can you tell them that? Like, could you tell them that? And he's like, no, I want you to tell them that. So I told my husband, he almost rocked his chair through the wall. He was so nervous about it. You would have had to know him to know that. He's like, you're going to do what? You're going to say what? You're going to what? And I'm like, they asked if I would pray. And here's what God, and I know that God talks to me because he talked to me about you. And you got saved. So I called them. And I told them what God said to me. And they hung up on me. And were very upset and hurt and felt judged by me, which was not the case at all. Because I had not thought of that on my own. God had given me that revelation. And I'm like, what do I do now? What I did then was just say, Lord, I believe you spoke to me. Because sometimes we will have a revelation and we will share it with people who are still blinded to the revelation. Well, some months, I mean long months later, they called and said, guess what we did today? We went and got married. The Baptist pastor married us. That was in September, around the 20th of September. June 21st, they had their baby. 9 months, almost to the day, and it was Father's Day. You can't make that stuff up. No, you can't. You can't. You can't make it up. God gave a revelation. Something I didn't know. The amount of revelation we have should continually increase our faith so that we see greater and greater things. Revelation leads to new understanding and new experience. And without the experience, without walking it out, it just remains head knowledge. And do you know if you keep things locked in your head, you can think you've done it when you haven't really done it? You can think, like you could hear a sermon about giving to the poor and agree with it and say, yeah, that's a really good idea and never do it, but think you have. Because you think about it and you agree with it, but you don't act on it. And here's the other thing. You don't have to understand everything God says to you to do it. We want to know. We want to know everything, don't we? We have to give up our right to know and just say, God, this is your revelation. I don't understand it, but you've called me to speak it, and I'm going to trust it's going to do what you have wanted it to do, because it's a revelation from you and it's powerful. And I don't have to understand it. And then we do have to be cautious, my friends, about revelation and that spirit of religion, because we cannot force someone into revelation. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. As I started out with, we can't try and convince them. We can't argue. We can't debate. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to convict people of sin It is the job of the Holy Spirit to bring revelation of truth to them. We need to pray that they have a spirit of revelation is what we need to do. Jesus said not everybody understood his parables. Not everyone will understand the truth that you speak. But somewhere along the line, have you read the scriptures that said that this happened and the disciples like all of a sudden like, ah, it all makes sense now. I get it. That's what Jesus was talking about when they saw certain things happen. It has to come by the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not force them into revelation of who he was. He presented truth. He lived before them. But it was the Holy Spirit that had to bring them to that revelation. But you know what? The day is coming when we are not going to need a spirit of revelation anymore, because we are going to see him face to face. And we are going to understand all things and see all things and know all things. His glory is going to be revealed and all flesh will see it together. He will be the light. There is no shadow in heaven. There's no gray areas. There's not even going to be any gray areas about us, because it will all be revealed. Corinthians says that our works are going to be tried to see which ones stay. Doesn't mean we won't be saved, but the intents and motives of our hearts will be revealed. In that day, we won't need revelation because we'll have it all. We need desperately in this day of mega information, with things at our fingertips in a second's notice, with so many voices, with so many opinions, with so many people speaking this and this and this and this. We need a spirit of revelation. My prayer for you is that every day you would say, God, give me a spirit of revelation. And I'd like to pray for us that very scripture that we read in Ephesians. Father God, we pray, O God, that you would grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would give us insight into the mysteries and the secrets and the deep knowledge of you. Lord, we're not satisfied with what we know. Take us deeper, Lord God. Father, I pray that the eyes of our hearts would be flooded with light so that we would know and understand who we are in you, the hope that you've called us to, the inheritance that awaits us, Lord. Let that strengthen us, Father, and give us courage to face the things that we suffer and struggle with, because we know what's ahead, Lord God. The glory that awaits us. Give us glimpses of heaven, O God. Give us glimpses of the depth of your love for us and the inheritance that awaits us, O God. And Father, I pray that you would give us a revelation of the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of your power for us, Lord God, what you have done for us, the price that was paid that we could be free, that we could be called your sons and daughters. And then, Lord, I pray that you would give us an ever-growing revelation of the power within us. Lord, that we would lay aside our need to know, that we would lay aside everything that hinders us from action, from speaking, Lord God. Help our hearts not be hardened like the disciples were. Father, help us to know that you have called us to do the greater things, O God. Give us a revelation of that. And then, Lord, help us to have it as our experience. And with experience, Lord God, may our faith grow by leaps and bounds. Father, that we would have faith for greater and greater things as you give us the revelation of who you are. And Father, we thank you for resurrection power. The things that bring death from death bring us life, O God. Those dreams, the vision, our destiny, Lord God, that's been clouded, that we've not seen clearly, give us a revelation of it all, Lord God. Father, that we may glorify you in all that we do. Father, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us, Lord God, to be ministers of your kingdom wherever you call us. And Lord, even tonight, I pray that you would take the blinders off our eyes, Lord God, that veils would be lifted, that you would bring everyone in this room to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us to see, to know, to believe, to act, to live with great revelation, Lord God. And I thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us all. God bless you. And I expect to hear some testimonies of what God is doing in you and through you in the days ahead. Thank you for those of you online for joining us. See you again soon. God bless you.